Hi, Sally Spillane. Welcome back to the Garden Show and Home, one of my favorite places to be because I really learn a lot. We are brought to you by SCR Fence, design and installation of gates and fences for your home, farm, or business. For service, commitment, and reliability, visit scrfence.com. Flower Power at the Ozone Native Plant Nursery and Resource Center for a Sustainable Lifestyle on Pitcher Lane in Red Hook, the ozonehv.com, and Williams Lumber, the name you know and the name you trust, with seven locations to service you, including Rhinebeck, Red Hook, Hudson, High Falls, and Pleasant Valley, williamslumber.com. And Francis Groters is here from Catskill Native Nursery. I'm having a blast. So Francis held up a book, and yes, how could we have forgotten about sedges? Sedges have edges. That's how you know if it's a sedge. I love sedges.
Yeah, they're not a grass. A lot of people think they're a grass. They're a graminoid, which means they look a lot like a grass, but they're not a grass. They're in a separate family. And they're an early spring thing for the most many of them. Not all of them, but many of them are an early spring flowering plant. They don't get as much respect as the trilliums of the world, because they are wind pollinated, so they don't have showy flowers. But there's an incredible diversity of them, just an incredible diversity. And they're fascinating for that reason, although it does make them taxonomically a huge challenge. And a few years ago, a fellow by the name of Jerry Jenkins came out with a book called Sedges of the Northern Forest, a photographic guide. And sedges can be a really frustrating to try to identify. You go through these botanical keys and just this esoteric stuff about the shape of the Paragonia, and it's just like, oh my God, you run away screaming. But this book shows all those structures in a photographic guide side by side, and it's really kind of fascinating if you're in, especially if you're into diversity. Not that you have to identify the species. You can use them in the garden, and not necessarily even knowing what species they are, because they're all, pretty similar and pretty much just variations upon a theme. But we do sell a lot of them. We sell a lot of Pennsylvania sedge and Appalachian sedge, and there are sedges for the shady woodland. There's some sedges that do well, pretty well in sunny situations like Carex bignellii. They're even called prairie sedge, so it's the one that likes it sunny. There are ones that grow in wetlands and in moist areas. Carex bromoides, a brome-like sedge, is a really nice looking sedge for wetlands. So there's a huge diversity of them. Carex, the seersucker sedge, Carex plantaginea, with a really wide leaf, very attractive sedge. But then there's a whole bunch of others that, at me as a former biologist, I like to go out and try to identify them. And every spring this time of year, I resolve I'm going to figure out what all these edges are. And of course, it's still a challenge even with this photographic guide, and I end up not, meeting my goal. But a little progress here and there. But if you want to look at a fascinating book on a sometimes a group that doesn't get a lot of respect, Sedges of the Northern Forest by Jerry Jenkins. And they're great plants to use in the garden because, yes, they provide contrasting texture to a lot of these other spring and other woodland plants. And some of them will run, like Pennsylvania sedge, will form a patch over time. Some of them are more like clumpers, like the Appalachian sedge, and they just form a bigger and bigger clump over time. They're a group which deserves some attention, and they're not great for pollinators. As I said, they're wind pollinated, but there are some butterflies and moths that do eat the foliage, so they are a host plant for certain species.
Yeah, moths are out. Boy, I'm seeing moths. They're
They were
early.
out early. There are species that come out early, and I every year I'm like, what are you doing? I guess they're just laying eggs, and it'll take the eggs a few weeks to, a few weeks to hatch, and at that point there'll be something for the caterpillars to eat. But until then, there's so I think that's what they're doing. They're mating, they're laying eggs, even though there's nothing for the caterpillars to feed, but with the anticipation that there will be something for them to feed on in a few weeks.
Birds, they're back.
Yeah.
My question is, how long are you going to keep your bird feeders up?
Typically, once the nursery starts getting busy, I don't have time to fill them, and so I stopped filling them, and that's typically mid-April, early to mid-April. I stopped a little bit earlier this year, and then I've started again and stopped and started kind of with what spring has been doing. We get these 70-degree days, and I'm thinking, all right, birds, you're on your own. And then all of a sudden it's 25 degrees, and I'm like, ah, well, hey, there's not a lot for you to eat right now, and so I'll throw some more bird feed out or fill up the sunflower feeders for the 6,000 goldfinches that I think we have here, and so and but bears are out too, I think, and so we have deer fencing all around the nursery, so we don't have a huge problem with bears. One year the bear sniffed our probably a suet feeder or something and basically just broke down a wooden fence to get into the nursery. But for the most part, we don't have a huge problem with bears. And so we can keep our feeders up a little bit longer if we wanted to, but we typically don't.
Yeah, bears. So what are birds eating? Moths.
Well, yeah, some of those moths that are flying around. I mean, phoebes are back. They're a type of fly catcher, which obviously they eat more than flies, they eat moths. And so the phoebes are going to be hanging out in the woodland edge, and any moths that are flying around, they may catch them. Bluebirds are eating some of the berries that are still hanging on that didn't get completely eaten in the winter, and so, they might be eating sumac berries. In some cases, they don't have a lot to eat, and they're just relying on stored fat to get here. Because the migrants are showing up early, the males show up early just to be on the mating territories before the females do, and they may go hungry for a few days, but it's worth it to be here just in case a female does show up. But there's still seeds around, obviously, and so the seed eaters have some things to eat. But pretty clearly, it's easier pickings at our feeder, where we're seeing cowbirds and red-winged blackbirds and grackles and things that don't spend the winter here, but are back here looking for food. And there's not a whole lot out there. They're coming to our feeders.
Yeah, it's been, like you said earlier, hot, cold, windy. As soon as there's a storm that passes, and the cold front comes, it's wind. It's just nonstop wind. I have so much stuff down, and it's pretty amazing. But I see birds, picking up stuff for nests.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of things. Are they laying eggs yet, or are they just building?
Oh, well, most of our. I mean, Diane said she heard some birds in one of our bird houses with a lot of noise, but she said no, that's too early for eggs to have hatched. And yeah, they haven't even laid eggs for the most part. I mean, there's some of the owls and things, yeah, they've already laid some eggs and are probably might even have some hatchlings. But yeah, for the most part, they're just starting. They're not anywhere near close to laying eggs.
So they're building.
Yeah, definitely building. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
I love it. I just love sort of seeing all the activity, and I don't know. It was a long winter.
Yeah.
The ice was interesting, to say the least. And
Yeah, it's frustrating. I like our old-fashioned snowy winters. I don't like these rain and snow and ice and snow and rain and ice and ice and yeah, don't like them at all. But hey, it is what it is. But yeah, lots of birds around. Turkeys are mating, and they'll be laying eggs soon. And warblers are starting to migrate. Typically, one of the first ones to return is a pine warbler. I did pick up a pine warbler the other day with my Merlin app. And so, yeah, we're right on the cusp of warbler migration as well.
Cool. So Francis Grutters from Catskill Native Nursery has been here. They are open. Yay. Get your ephemerals now. Get your start thinking about all the plants for spring, for birds, pollinators, you. I mean, there's a native for everything. So just do it. Just do it. Francis, thank you so much. You answered a
You're
bunch
welcome.
of questions.
Yeah,
And you
you're welcome, Sally.
especially answered a question about my Phoebe because I haven't seen her, but I have a lot of moths, so I'm sure she'll be here soon. I'm
Yeah.
excited. She's my fave. So we're out of here. Thanks for joining us. Garden Show and Home, brought to you by Four Winds Farm. Heirloom seedling sale May 16th, 17th, and 18th in Gardner, New York. The list is going up. You want to go? FourWindsFarmNY.com. Also supporting us, Ward's Nursery, Garden Center, and Wild Bird Shop. Helping gardeners grow in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and at Ward'sNursery.com. I Must Garden. All natural, scent, pleasantly scented animal repellents available at select independent garden centers. More information at IMustGarden.com. And Catskill Native Nursery, gardening for a better environment on Samsonville Road in Cohonkston, and online at catskillnativenursery.com. Do a tick check, drink lots of water, stretch, and spray deer repellent. That's what I know. We're out of here.